This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So it's 5 minutes before the bus to camp is about to pull. I can actually hear it's early. I can hear the screeching of the bus.
The worst feeling. When the bus screech is just outside your door and you're not ready.
No. And so, well, I'm on schedule, but I reach for the armoire and I look down and I realize I'm completely out of pomade.
Haze.
And so now I'm about to show up at camp.
For all of camp, by the way.
With
and
no
they don't
pomade.
They don't sell that at the little camp commissary.
No. And they're gonna shoot arrows at me. They're gonna shoot the little rifle at me, the little like 22.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna capture the flag me.
Oh, buddy. Mm-hmm. They're gonna wrap you up in bed sheets, tie your hands and feet together, put you on a canoe, and push you out into the middle of the water.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is everything I feared about camp is showing up with no pomade. So I go to the fridge. Mm-hmm. I start juicing different things.
Yeah.
To see
what... You're in panic mode. You have to.
Yes. And so I'm just like throwing stuff in the juicer from a distance, from across the kitchen. Banana, no. Lettuce, not at all.
Please don't put lettuce. That will not a pomade make.
Yes. Peanut butter didn't do anything in the juicer.
Oh, interesting.
I would have thought
that might help.
I cleaned it out between each thing. I actually now I sort of think that lettuce and peanut butter together would have actually worked really well if I hadn't cleaned out all the juiced lettuce. But if you just put peanut butter in a juicer, it doesn't change anything really about its consistency.
By itself, yeah, you might as well have just brought the jar of peanut butter.
Yeah.
Unjuiced.
Mm-hmm.
So
and now of course I look at Kevin and I see, okay, now I see where my jar went.
Now I realize where my pomade went. Fucking Dr. Pompadour himself.
Yeah, Mr. Pompadourable.
Aw.
Pompadorkable.
Pomp and circumstance.
Am I right or am I right?
Welcome to my show where I'm the big star, Hollywood Handbook.
This is the show where Hayes is famous and I'm here as well. And by the way, Kevin's always eavesdropping. We have a real guest. We have a serious guest. Tommy Orange is here, famous author. Obama likes his book. He's doing all kinds of things. Tommy, thank you for being on the show. You want to say hello quickly?
Hello. Thank you.
Stop. Before you go any further, I just want to address, we've had a slight problem with guests, especially first-time guests, telling me to shut up during the show. So we're just going to start at least this episode, maybe the next several episodes, just laying down some, I don't even want to call them ground rules. They're guidelines that a lot of guests have found helpful. I think the guests who have not told me to shut up have had some pretty funny episodes. And the ones who have been like, shut up to me, I don't think those episodes have been as well received. So your choice is yours to make. I don't tell anybody, you know, I'm not here to police anyone's language. But it's something to be aware of. And then, you know, that way, if it does come up, if you do say that to me, you know, you won't be shocked when you find out that, people don't really like that. You know,
and just confirmation maybe, that's been received, that you've like, that you've heard and like understood that, or that you have questions.
Yeah. If you have any questions,
which
just
is
tell
ideal.
Me, like, tell me I've heard that. I understand. Yeah. Or ask me anything.
Well, like variations on, you know, more polite versions? Or does it have the same outcome usually if people...
What would that sound like?
What's an example? Mr. Yeah, hit me with it. Thesaurus. And this is, by the way, you're not... I'm not going to hold you to what you said here. We know this is like in like sort of a play acting state. So,
like, shut your trap, or be quiet.
I'd probably stay away from the whole area. Hearing you say it, I'd probably avoid the entire
when
area.
Sound bad.
Yeah. You could feel it a little bit, huh? Coming out, even in what was a completely safe, you know, kind of pretend mode.
You sounded down bad as you were saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel that.
Tommy Orange. Yes, Tommy Orange's new novel really is that good. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Colm Tóibín.
He Colm said Tóibín? That?
Yeah.
I saw it in the newspaper.
Yeah, he wrote that.
That was him in the newspaper?
He was in the newspaper, right?
Who's in the newspaper? Tóibín?
Colm Tóibín. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Tóibín. That sounds like where my kid keeps his Play-Doh.
He was in Star Trek. He was in, I want to say, movies like he was in Deep in Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he could
What's
have
he doing
been
on there?
in Bruges, but I don't know if he actually was.
The author was in these things?
Yeah.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Did some stuff with like Alan Partridge and things like that, and I guess he wrote this thing in the newspaper. Yes. Tommy Orange's new novel really is that good. This is a headline. First of all, perfectly interesting to me, but it's not, I wasn't even talking about that.
Yeah, I hadn't brought it up. Like, you brought it up. Do you want to back, are you confusing me with someone else? I said to that quote.
It was a headline.
Were you talking about this with someone else who looks like me or something? Because
I got plenty really great of stuff that I'm thinking about it, talking about it, like it's not this. No offense, like it's cool
thing to say. It's not the first thing you would say normally. But you know, aside from that, like I'm sure you were happy about it. You probably were talking about it. You're obsessed with your book,
writing books and serving looks. That's you say that.
Isn't that what your bumper sticker told me? Is that or is that not what your bumper sticker told me? And that's why you're in the car, by the way, so you could pop out and read your own bumper sticker about yourself writing books and serving looks whenever you want. Is that or is that not what's true?
I'm anti-bumper sticker in general.
That's a sentiment you could put on a bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Warriors
sticker,
hat?
Circling a line through bumper sticker. Yeah, you got the Warriors hat on?
Black on black Warriors hat?
No, it's Oakland, like Oakland. It's a company out of Oakland.
But
Hayes wears their shirt a lot.
Yeah,
he's got the one shirt, and he's beating the brakes off it, man. He's gonna wear it. He's gonna wear it till the damn thing disintegrates.
But they put the tree on the Warriors put the tree on their jersey sometimes, right?
They do.
So it is a Warriors hat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
So it's nice to know that the novel's doing well, that you've been allowed to be a Warriors fan, and that you have made some angel investments, that you've got a little VC action going. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to hear about your crypto, but something tells me you'll land on your feet. Now, you're Mr. Books. Are you the only one who can do books? And there is a right answer.
I'm the only one that can do my books.
That's
okay.
You're the only one that did do your books.
That's right.
That's for sure.
Also,
believe me.
But I could do it. I also did it. So it's not even true.
That's actually what I was gonna say is not the only one who can do books. I can do books.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing when I do my books, I'm basically doing your books. But just a little extra sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking about, thinking about, kicking around the idea, Hayes and I, of doing some more books. We saw your book. We saw that quote that was like, yes, it really is that good, when we weren't even talking about it. And we were like, somebody's got to say this about our book soon and soon. Let's get Mr. Books on here. We're going to get his blessing. We'll kiss the ring. You know what I mean? We'll do your little dance. And then after we've gotten cleared for takeoff, books wise, by Mr. Books. Guess what we're going to do? Click it, a clack it, a click it, a clack it, a bing. Click it, a clack it, a click it, a clack it, a bing.
That's our home check printing machine.
That's right. Forget it, man. Printing checks.
Then we'll get to record podcasts from our car, like you, the most expensive recording studio I've ever seen. It's like tens of thousands of dollars just to record a podcast in.
Mobile recording studio. SI's a fucking Lincoln lawyer of book writing. He's got to do it in the car. He's always on the go, man. He works in his car because he's got like so many high profile book meetings to go to around the city. It's unbelievable.
So we'll read you passage here, passage there. You will provide your little comments. And then we can, you know, we'll get the red pen out and we'll like make the edits.
We'll make adjustments if it makes sense. And we could give you feedback maybe on some of your ideas. And then we'll ship it all over to your editor. You could probably drive it there. You're in your car right now. And then we'll just kind of get this train a moving. Hey, I mean, I've got just some general ideas. Hey, Hayes, did you want to go first with a passage or what do you, how do you,
I think we can start with an idea and then you can start writing that idea while I read a passage and then we can just go back and forth like that.
Okay.
I think for time, like efficiency of time, that would make the most sense. So none of us are just like sitting, we're all actually like doing something.
This first idea, Tommy, I'm bumping this one to the top actually because I do see how you've chosen to record and I think this will really connect to you. So it is a guy like you. It's called The Prince of Rides. So if you remember Prince of Tides, obviously it was a big successful book. So I'm sort of using that to inform, okay, I've got a title. It's about a limo driver. He's the best limo driver in the city. He's also very good at doing it, at fucking. So he gives rides in multiple ways. And he's afraid, obviously, he's getting a little older, and he's afraid that he's never going to find true love because he's so good at sex. He can never tell if someone loves him for him or because of the good sex that he does. And so it's...
possibly the good driving.
Or the driving. So, yeah, I mean, we can use some of your experience with that. Obviously, it's semi-autobiographical on my end, too. So the driving stuff can be yours. I could talk about some of the techniques that I've employed over the years. And so it's this guy, and you know, it's relatable. It's like he wants to find love. He is a romantic at heart. It's not his fault that he can fuck all day and night. So it's kind of a beautiful story about a guy with like this one fatal flaw, which is that he can really hump it, you know? So I think that that's cool. And obviously the limo scenes you could be extremely helpful with, extremely, because I have not recorded in my car. I haven't even driven that much. And so I think that we're kind of using both of our strengths here. And The Prince of Rides is a great title. So what?
And we're already making accommodations. It is a great title. I did like the original one, but we did have to zig when it was taken. It was called There because that's what the chick said when he was hitting it.
Yeah,
like it directionally, like she was pointing, like she was saying, like.
Right, it was there. It was there, exclamation point, there, exclamation point. But we were told that the punctuation doesn't make that big a difference, that the title is still owned.
Still in the same place on the shelf.
Your involvement, everything. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. And yeah, it just that.
We heard you were very protective of the title.
We heard you were going to be kind of a B word about the whole thing. And we just said, hey, let's get it, you know. Let's get it out of the way. Let's bring him in, you know?
I think, I vaguely remember this. And I think I had a problem with the sex in the car thing in the limo. It felt like a violation of the ethics.
That's
around
his work. That's his workplace. But that's his rule. He makes a rule in the very first scene, he goes, "Hey, just so you know, babe, I never do it in the car." He goes, I'm a professional. People ride in that thing. And that's one line you'll never see me cross. And when he believes he has found the one, right? He takes it to the back seat with her. And the next day when the businessman sits in the stain and she's not returning his texts, you realize that, like, he betrayed his own code of honor and for nothing. Because she was just in it for the there, which is what she said when he was hitting it.
And after, when she was telling him where to drive.
Yeah.
I don't think I had the context, or it didn't feel it was earned whatever I had known before. So maybe I could.
It is earned. So you definitely didn't have the context because it was definitely earned.
Yeah, it's definitely earned. It's actually, I don't think the story works without it.
Yeah.
You don't make that rule unless he's going to at some point break that rule for the chick he thinks is the one who actually likes him for him and not just because he's so fucking good at smashing.
I would hate to lose Prince of Rides, though, I have to say.
Yeah, no, that works. There's a little smarter, I guess. Look who I'm telling.
Mr. Books.
I'll read you a quick passage. This is something I've been working on with Sean for a number of years, basically my whole entire life. And we can. This is page one. We can jump around, but this is page one, paragraph one. This is how it begins. Butterflies were flying in my chest. It was the last day of school at college, and freshman year had been an amazing ride. The ride was like a roller coaster, except with grades and parties instead of hills and candy. Now it was time for me to conquer my biggest fear, going to the bathroom. I had been too scared to go to the bathroom my entire freshman year of college. It was my first time living on my own, and I had no idea if this bathroom worked the same as the one downstairs at home. I was scared to ask people at college if the bathroom was different, but I did anyway. I asked everyone I saw for the entire school year if the bathroom here was different from the one at home. But not one person had even heard of the downstairs bathroom at home, so they didn't know if it was different. Everyone was really nice except for one person who completely freaked out. So that's sort of like that's laying the groundwork for what's to come.
The bathroom becomes sort of this like portal almost into another world, you know? Not literally.
In some ways, not literally.
Just because it's so brave for this character.
Right.
Who I think we connect to. And who, by the way, could be the same character in Prince of Rides. I mean, well, you know, just if we have all this writing already done, I don't know why we couldn't meet this guy a little bit earlier before he's got the limo job.
You're a college boy, right?
I think it's really intriguing, this downstairs bathroom part. And the person freaked out, I'm really curious about.
You want to follow them?
These two elements.
They're the villain.
Yeah, we're not going to hear from them again.
The fact that everyone's weirded out about the downstairs bathroom being a thing.
It's not that they're weirded out. They've just never heard of it.
They're not aware of it. You know what I mean? In a way, it's like, this is to educate people.
Because everyone only knows about upstairs bathrooms?
They just never heard of that, of the downstairs bathroom that, like, he's...
The downstairs bathroom at home that he's most comfortable using. Because the upstairs bathroom is kind of dad's. One. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The upstairs one's basically dad's. So...
Have you guys
They're
heard of
mostly in the downstairs one.
You heard of a Pittsburgh toilet?
Oh, God, this is going to be some. Actually, we could use this in Prince of Rides. Maybe he's the guy who invented the Pittsburgh toilet.
It's some kind of toilet in the basement of a house and there's no doors or anything around it. It's just sort of like a toilet in the middle of a basement related to, like, not if there were ever leaks or ruptures, you're already sort of have the pipes down there.
And they're sticking up out of the floor.
Yeah, the toilet's just right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've got all these like exposed beams and stuff as like such a cool, you know, architectural feature, but suddenly exposed toilet pipes is not something to brag about, not something to be shown off. Like, I think that's a really limited way of thinking. So definitely there could be a Pittsburgh toilet somewhere in the book. Maybe, you know, after he doesn't get a text back and he gets fired from his job because the businessman sat in the stain, the Prince of Rides, who, you know, the downstairs bathroom has always been such a source of comfort for him, goes to one level lower, goes to the downstairs bathroom mm-hmm. in the basement. And there is a Pittsburgh toilet. And I don't know what he does there. Grabs the pipe, hugs
we
the
probably,
pipe.
We probably won't use it.
I don't think we're going to use it, Tommy. Thank you for trying. You know, I would love to be able to incorporate some of your stuff. But that's pretty good. I have a slightly more fleshed out idea. And it's, again, a lot of this stuff might work together. A lot of these, this one's a little more romantic. I was worried that Prince of Rides might be a little too adult and too dirty. This one's probably more young adult. And this one, I actually believe, could use your Pittsburgh toilet idea.
Before we go on, I feel like we gave a little bit of praise to Prince of Rides and not that much to Hayes's idea. I do want to say I love...
Well, Hayes and I are writing that together.
I do love the butterflies in the chest opening.
It's fucking kicks ass, right?
It's so
it's
amazing.
It's a fucking bomb going off.
You can fucking feel it.
You're like,
this is
the beginning of the book?
They started with that. They burned that. It's like, they opened with Freebird. Where the fuck they gonna go from here? That takes major cojones. But you know what? The fucking thing delivers. So I love that. Thank you for giving those props. And thank you for just saying
that
before
was Sean's
we go
line,
on.
And so it's not
saying
I
shut
still
up.
I haven't gotten a compliment, but.
Well, maybe you'll find one here. And actually, Tommy, to compliment you, I actually think the Pittsburgh toilet is going to work really well in this next one. Okay. So I'm glad you brought it up because I didn't know what that was. And I think it's perfect for this. This book is called The Ringer. Justin Ringo is a culture columnist for TheRinger.com. After a full day of ranking Marvel directors, he goes on a date where he has planned a romantic proposal for his longtime girlfriend. He has the chef hide the ring in her favorite dessert. She inhales the food and swallows the ring without realizing it. So he delays his perfect proposal and resorts to constantly checking their toilet for the ring, their Pittsburgh toilet. The twist? A few days into checking, he finds another different engagement ring in her stool and finds out she has been having an affair.
Wow.
I mean, is that powerful?
I love
Mr.
it.
Mr. Books.
I really love that. I don't know who's...
You love that happened to him?
I don't know who calls somebody who is looking for rings and poop a ringer.
The Ringer.
The Ringer. Well, he works at TheRinger.com.
And his name is Justin Ringo.
Yeah.
So a ring's happening, but I don't know that it all works together.
And he also, he played D1 ball, and they have a softball league with a bunch of other websites. And he kind of isn't that great a writer, but they hired him to be sort of the ringer on the team, on the softball team. Because he hits dingers. He's the ringer who hits dingers, and his name's Justin Ringo, and he works for TheRinger.com. And he gave her a ring.
It's a lot of ring stuff happening. So
yeah, so I guess I don't know what the fuck your bump was just on the title. Like, and
it's like
the most explicable
thing.
Yeah, that's probably the one thing I don't need help with is finding a way for The Ringer to be a good title.
I got it. Starts with T-H-E-R. This guy is trying to clear space on the fucking shelf. He doesn't like this guy. We heard he's protective of the title.
He knew he doesn't want us that close.
He says, get over there with the W's or something, but
this book's going to push my book down a shelf. Buddy, it's over, man. You had a hell of a run. Fuck. Hey, you got me, man. I bought the fucking thing. I read it. You know, good on you. You got my ass, man. God bless.
Got Obama.
But now. It's time to move on. The Ringer is not competing with They're There.
I guess I
it's
have a
totally
more,
different story.
I have a more technical question. How do you, because the pipes and the flushing and the poop goes away. How is he capturing the poop to look through it for rings?
It's a Pittsburgh toilet. So he gets right into the pipe. So every time he hears a flush, he goes, "Ah, babe, I really got to get in there. I don't know what's going on for me lately." And he goes running in right behind her, starts undoing the pipes, goes rooting around through it. And we talk about it in a very like classy way. Like we don't have to get yucky with it at all. And we say like, it's not yucky. Her diet's really good. And then as he's going through everything, you know, he's going, "I got to find an engagement ring. Sees the glint of a diamond, pulls it out. It's a different engagement ring. Now, she was proposed to by someone else who also put it in her favorite dessert. That's why the waiter was acting so weird, right? Because he had seen it happen the other day that she didn't realize.
Either time she didn't realize this, she swallowed.
She loves this. She loves this budino. She loves this delectable budino, Mr. Books. And she doesn't even use a spoon.
And do you know who the other man?
Down and pop.
Do you know who the other man was? Ring Lardner Jr.
But wait, what? Why is it called the Ringer? That's you. But wait, how would that even? But that's not. That's you, unfortunately, for both of us. So it's just an idea. We don't have to do it. And by the way, this guy could be the Prince of Rides.
I waited until everyone at college was asleep. I quietly opened my door and looked out in the hallway. The coast was clear. I made sure to not let the door close too loudly so I wouldn't wake anyone up. I tiptoed down the hallway, careful that the sounds of my footsteps didn't make too much noise. I tried to control the motion of my pants and shirt so that nobody would hear their rustling. Just then, a door opened. Somebody poked their head out the door. It was the RA. "What are you doing out here?" they said. I realized I was nervous, so the verbal noises and sounds I was making in the hallway had been loud. I was hooting and hollering uncontrollably and saying gadzooks. Then the RA noticed it was me. I had announced my entire plan to him for days in advance in case of exactly this situation. He shut the door and I continued my journey. Wow.
So pretty powerful stuff, huh?
Scary for a moment there.
Right. But when the RA comes out, you know, I'm getting ready to close the book. Mm-hmm. Like I'm reading it, like just peeking at the pages inside like this, because I have to be ready at a moment's notice to completely shut the book in case the jig is up.
Are we thinking this is a Prince of Rides flashback there's sort of a tension created in knowing that something maybe didn't go right at college? And that's how he ended up a limo driver as opposed to, you know, maybe a better job.
Well, whether
it's
or not,
it's not really, it's not an anti limo driver book. Like that wasn't really, or podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I know you're a college boy, but like, that's actually a fine job, first of all. And also they don't make you like, has no impact on your grades, whether or not you like go to the bathroom.
You could
college.
Use the bathroom every day. You could never use the bathroom in your dorms, and your professors are not allowed to change your grade based on that. I've checked. So, I guess, you know, what I thought was so, and you didn't really notice this, I guess, what was so creative and the way we kind of played with time here is we've been with this character a lot. They had mm-hmm. butterflies flying mm-hmm. around in their chest. You know, we've been inside their head, but we carefully omitted the scenes where they went to the RA to describe their plan, which happened multiple times mm-hmm. in the days leading up to the event. And then when you get to this moment where they're almost caught, you know, they're almost busted by the RA, they're going to be in trouble. I mean, they're saying gadzooks in the hallway. That can affect your grades.
Mm-hmm.
So they're about to be busted. And then we sort of fill in the background. It's sort of this like flashback where it's like, oh, every time in the previous chapters when the character said, I'm going to go to the bathroom, walk downstairs and came back up without going to the bathroom, they were going to the RA's room, which is next to the bathroom, and saying, hey, I'm going to do this later. And then you go, oh, that's what was going on. Mm-hmm. So this thing that seemed like a mistake or confusing now has become
very intentional. The plan is a Swiss watch.
Wow, these guys are like brainiacs. It's like Ocean's 11 or something.
Did they know the whole time that that they were doing that? Or
is at the a downstairs bathroom in any way?
It just demonstrates to me a total lack of like paying attention, like just a total inability to listen to anyone but yourself. I guess it's technically sure, fine. It's a third floor bathroom. The dorm is on the third floor. So depending on what floor you are on, it could be a downstairs bathroom.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the character lives on the fourth floor. And by the way, our original title for this, just so you know, which we've generously changed, was There? And it was the character, you know, finally in the bathroom, spoiler mm-hmm. alert, going like, where do I go? Like, which is it, one of these stall thingies? Like, do I go there? And we were told that obviously we would not be allowed to do that. So that's why we thought, well, let's let Tommy in. He'll
throw
see.
One of his famous hissy fits.
Mm-hmm. Gonna have another tantrum.
One of his legendary tri-county fits.
I would prefer there not to be THR, you know, especially towards the beginning. Whatever you guys end up writing.
Anywhere towards mm-hmm. the beginning of the book. You'd like us to clear.
We've got to get those letters out of the beginning of the book.
Okay.
So it's out of the title. That's gone. And now we have to comb through the first several chapters.
That's fine.
To take out some of our most favorite letters to use.
We can do that. We actually have multiple tools in our toolbox. And so like that's actually not an issue for us.
We'll figure it out. But it's a lot of work.
Losing that butterfly line is going to be rough. You need the T and the R in that one.
Yeah. I guess it can't be moths.
Yeah. And that's got TH in it. Could it just be bugs? Is it just bugs?
Birds and bugs?
Birds and bugs are doing... The birds and bugs were flying around. That sounds like birds and bees.
Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, gang. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. Rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hollywood Handbook.
I have one more book idea, and I think I've actually identified your issue with some of the other ones. And it's that they dealt a little too much maybe with romance and human emotions and being aware of people other than yourself and kind of getting outside and imagine putting yourself in the shoes of someone else who has like a really challenging, difficult time dating because they're so good at sex, or someone who learns that they're being betrayed by, you know, the closest person to them. So I think that didn't connect to you, and this might be more your speed. This one is called The Munchie Games. It's the Hunger Games on fucking weed, dude. It's, they're smoking that funny stuff, man. The ganja pipe is burning. They're doing Hunger Games, but they keep forgetting the rules and shit, and they're being way funnier. So, I mean, this to me, and I think we can have a lot of fun with the names where, like, Katniss was like the main girl, but maybe the name is like Weedness, you know, something that really gets you like right in the funny bone, right off the rip. And by the way, right off the bong rip, I should have said. And I think this could maybe connect to you a little more. You're obviously high as shit right now. The way you're acting is totally goofy and insane. It can't be justified any other way. And so is this finally something that you will fully get on board for?
Let's hear it.
That's it.
You did just hear it. It was called The Munchie Games. It was The Hunger Games on fucking weed, dog.
I thought we were going to get some element of story. It's just the same thing, but...
Dude, yeah. I mean, like, the spine of the story is there, but imagine if when they were doing the Hungry Games, instead of all being all uptight, they were puffing on the chiba. You know what I mean? They had a little bit of the green stuff. You know, maybe instead of all being like, hey, he's gonna kill that guy, they would have been like, hey, man, Come on, dude. Stop doing Hunger Games on my ass. Hey, can we eat any of this leaves, dude? You know? And then it wouldn't have been like so fucking intense. Because the way I read that book, by the way, they're all trying to kill each other all the time. I'm peeking at it. I got just the teensiest sliver of a page. And every time I finish like basically any sentence at all, I'm like, I shouldn't have read that.
I mean, I think you could have a whole genre of like sort of remakes with wordplay for the weed thing. I think that's probably something you could do.
Like, oh, what, what's you, another? Genius, yeah. What's like? What's another one?
I don't know if we're going to the dystopian genre. Well, Harry Potter feels like there's like a pothead thing we could probably easily do.
Harry Pothead.
Yeah,
That's really fucking good.
Yeah, I guess he's right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's so fucking good. That's
so I'm attached to the ringer now. Now that we have gone that down there and how it
well
connects.
What if that, you know, what if that, so what if that's the opening is sort of the excerpt we have from the ringer, and then he gets like summoned to the fucking division thingy and volunteers as tribute or whatever because he's so upset that his girlfriend is stepping out on him, and then is just like doesn't care if he lives or dies, but then throughout the course of the Munchie Games realized that it was like all a misunderstanding. And that it was just a friendship ring that he found from Ring Lerner Jr. and now like has to win in order to get back to his one true love. And that would be like, I guess then she's weedness. I don't know. Somebody's weedness.
And ultimately, whatever the munchies he ends up eating, we could, you know, sort of loop back to the toilet and there could be some conflict we could find there, whether it's downstairs or, you know, Pittsburgh.
I mean, I'm kind of had enough of the toilet stuff at this point. I know you really liked it. I tried to cater to that as much as I could.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to use that. Not for this anyway.
I'd probably not go back there at this point, especially because we have so much of the Prince of Rides backstory is about trying to use the bathroom. It just feels it's a tonnage issue for me. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to do more than one thing, which is in this case, toilet stories. I don't think Munchie Games needs it.
Well, we do feel heavily tied to the college experience. And
I had finally made it. I was inside the bathroom. The special move I did to get through the door had hurt my leg so badly I had to lie on the ground for a really long time. I was underneath the hand dryer, which was motion detecting my head and blasting me. The air dryer was making my head burn up, but I couldn't move because the move had given me a severe leg injury and basically exploded part of my leg. So the air dryer kept blasting my head and burning it up. Somebody passed me outside the bathroom door, which I had propped open with a gigantic table. "Hey," he said, "dry head." So it's a little something about like there are actually good people in the world, you know?
Yeah, just that one moment of kindness, you know, that like ray of hope. And what otherwise pretty bleak landscape. We had the one person that freaked out on them, obviously the villain, who we don't want to give a lot of oxygen to, despite your notes. And then we also have just people who weren't really familiar with the downstairs bathroom. But now this person who we could follow or not, you know, is actually trying to kind of make lemonade out of lemons and say, "Hey, dry head."
I do see how you're moving away from toilets at the end here. You know, it's much more based on
Well, it's not the only thing in a bathroom, Tommy.
It was the big moment. I had wedged myself under the bathroom stall. Somebody had thrown out a lariat in the bathroom trash that I was able to use to lasso the door of the stall and pull myself across the wet floor. My now useless leg was stretched out behind me, so now my foot was under the air dryer, triggering the motion detector, so it was burning my shoe and my leg. I couldn't believe how hot my shoe had become in just 1 year of college.
I'm a little logistically just how close, if he's lying on the floor, could he be to the air dryer where there's burning happening?
He's close enough that his foot is directly underneath it, just to paint the sort of picture for you.
Is he ever really long? Is he tall? Is it a small bathroom?
This college boy went to one of these big ass bathroom colleges.
Yeah, right. College boy was at a college with bathrooms so big he couldn't even see the fucking air dryer from where he was under the stall. Unbelievable. The level of privilege. You know what? Forget about that part of it. Really, what I wanted your notes on was just the lariat, which we've mm-hmm. been told by our editor needs, they're fine with it. It needs a little bit of bolstering.
It was implausible that somebody threw out a whole lariat.
Right? And that it was functional. If they had thrown it out, it should be somehow flawed. It shouldn't, you know, allow them to haul their way in. I had suggested perhaps there is a student at the college named Lariat the Spy who, you know, sort of sneaks around into the various buildings and always uses a lariat to get in and out of the windows and never uses the same lariat twice. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable exploring that and kind of building that up. But if there's a cleaner path to it that doesn't require an additional 200 to 600 pages, which I think is what it would take to really service the Lariat the Spy idea, we're open to it and we would hear from it. And just this time, I know you haven't actually said shut up, but sometimes the way you say what you think about the ideas we have, there's sort of this silent shut up there that I'd like to lose if possible.
That is why I was asking originally, but I don't mean that when I'm I've never heard of I don't even know what a lariat is. I don't know how much it's adding to the story.
Oh, it's adding the physical means by which our primary character is
accomplishes his only goal of the entire book.
Mm-hmm.
So the main goal is it's related to the toilet and getting there.
I guess you could say it's related to it. I mean, that is the entire thing. It's
more in the flashback in the college experience. In this bathroom is really kind of a climax moment.
You know, amazingly, I've underestimated just how high you are. Like, I knew that you had blazed up to get ready for this, and we could actually hear the bubbler that you were firing, and it sounded like you got some pretty premium stuff in there. But I still thought, I guess because you're Mr. Books, that you would be able to follow a couple of sentences of text read expertly by Hayes. I mean, I was in there. Jesus Christ, man. I'm looking at my Zoom window like this. Like, I might have to dump out of this thing in a second because when that shoe's getting hot, I'm like, mm-hmm. Jesus, what's going to be okay? I'm scared, man. So, it's funny how our experiences are different because I think it's so clear what's happening. And I think it's so intense and touching and sort of beautiful. And then you have these questions that feel clinical and stupid and bad. And it makes it hard to engage at all.
Can you guys explain what a lariat is for those out there who don't know what it is either?
Did you see Wonder Woman?
Not, I saw the first one, not the 1984 one.
Wow, very supportive.
Wow. Sometimes I support women. Yeah, no, I think
one
it's
for
great.
You, huh? The first I one, you kind of have... like, you kind of like the other, like the old way they were doing things.
Yeah, they should get a taste, but not too much. No wonder he didn't understand Prince of Rides.
Can't rewrite.
You know what I mean, this guy's getting them off four or five times. So, you know, the first one is kind of all you need. Another word for a lariat, and now it's all going to come together for you, I think, is a lasso.
In her lariat, when she would lasso you, you would have to tell the truth.
Let me find a movie with a...
Basically, that's what I do to myself every time I'm about to write a great novel. I use Wonder Woman's golden lasso on myself.
Mm-hmm. And so I
only
swear
tell the most truest words.
I swear that the page will be filled to the brim with nothing but pure truth. Speaking of pure truth, let me mention a movie with a lasso slash lariat in it that I'm sure you did see, and you could picture it this way: City Slickers. Mm-hmm. No women there, you know. It's
Curly's gold.
Just a bunch of dudes on the dude ranch. Take all my money, please.
Wait, you didn't see the Curly's gold one?
I only saw the Curly's gold one.
You only saw the Curly's gold one. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so he played the lariat, and that's somehow also how he gets into the toilet stall?
He uses the lariat to lasso the door of the stall, drag himself across the wet floor.
His leg is injured from the special move that he did to get into the
restaurant. Part of his leg exploded.
And he's going to pull himself up onto the toilet using the lariat.
Well, let's see.
Why don't we find out?
Okay. There was no getting around it. I was completely inside the toilet. I had pulled too hard on the lariat and was flung into the stall and ended up nestled inside the toilet. My leg was now so injured, big pieces of it were not even in the room anymore. Worse yet, the lariat was caught on the toilet handle, so every time I tried to move, I would flush myself even farther inside the toilet. After all that work, I realized I didn't even have to go to the bathroom anymore. There was no getting around it. The downstairs bathroom didn't work like this at all. And that's where we are. That's where
we're
at.
Here's Tommy's first question. Was there any getting around it? That's you, Tommy.
That was for you. I thought, do I have to go back to this a second time? Yeah, if Tommy's reading this, I might have
to. The fucking munchie games.
So I got so hurt, it left the room.
Big pieces of it were not even in the room anymore.
Yeah, that's how injured it is.
It like exploded out and maybe did a special move to leave the room itself.
No, it was a special move that led to it exploding in the first place.
Which then, basically, if you think about the amount of force it would take to pull yourself onto a toilet when the lariat has only, you know, looped around the handle, and how hard you would be pulling with a leg injury, with like exposed tendon and bone. Yeah, like a ligament's probably going to shoot off and shoot out the door into the hallway when you're pulling that hard just from the strain of it. And then, yeah, that's going to be pretty surprising, make you turn, lose your focus, and probably go up and land inside the toilet bowl, then flush yourself down over and over again when you try to pull out.
I find myself going back to my head guy.
The dry head guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You really want to keep following him, huh?
I want to know why somebody would think that that's what he was doing. And also, is it a supportive statement?
It's definitely supportive, yes.
Yeah, it's sort of the opposite of what you've been doing the whole time, where what he does is sees something someone else is doing and tries to get on board and be positive.
Sometimes all it takes, and this is for some other guests in our past too, sometimes nice thing to do is just to come on the show and say, hey, nice podcast.
Yeah.
And just fucking keep walking.
That's all. Is that so hard? Hey, man. Nice podcast you got there. You done all right for yourself. That feels good. But, yeah, but anyway, your thing is what? The dry head guy, you think he's like being mean or something?
It sounds like it could do it. Like, you're making fun of him. Like, you're standing under the thing with your head under it, and that's your comment. It sounds
bad. Yeah, you're bringing that to it. Yeah, well, so what's your pitch? So let's change that line now. Let's do Tommy's version. Hey, you're standing under that thing. You're lying down, first of all. Hey, you're standing under that thing with your head under
this college boy and his big ass, like high ceiling bathrooms where you don't have to lie down under the hand dryer.
Unbelievable. Must be nice getting on a step stool to dry your hands. Fucking college boy, bud.
I prefer Mr. Books.
What's the line? What line do you want for that one scene? So, hey is in there. Hey, we can't change. So he walks past the bathroom. Hey.
Hot enough for you?
Goodbye.
Whoa. Hollywood Handbook.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.